Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
How good was that? That was a great introduction and welcome to Common Ground. My name's Pastor Phil Brake and thank you for joining us for our Common Ground June series. We are looking at this theme of I'll Start Monday. Have you ever said that? Have you ever said I'll Start Monday? I mean, what's with that? Kind of like when we say that, it's kind of like that kind of weird magical power that somehow January the 1st has, right? Like we have this build up and this expectation that, you know, I'm going to January the 1st, the New Year's resolutions and the goals, and somehow there's this magical supernatural power about January the 1st that's going to transform all those ideas into action and my life's going to be transformed. Or, you know, people say, I'll start Monday. I don't know, have you ever actually said that, I'll start Monday? And when I was looking into it, no one really knows where this actually started. I'll start Monday. You know, like this kind of mystery. I mean, for some people, maybe it came from the creation account in the Bible. It talks about God created the world in 6 days, man on the sixth day, and on the seventh day he rested, which was Sunday. But how we kind of see it, or how I see it, is that that Sunday is mankind's first day on the planet. So Monday's not actually the first day. So anyway, we don't know where it came from, but I'll start Monday. Kind of a weird thing, right? So I guess what we're talking about is this idea of procrastination. Procrastination is something that I am certainly guilty of. Dare I say, we all are in some way, shape, or form in our lives. We've procrastinated about something at some point, and we all have different reasons for that, and I'll touch on that later. But by definition, procrastinating means a delaying or postponing of something. And I love the synonyms for procrastination out of the Webster Dictionary. It says a dithering or a delaying or a temporizing or a hesitating, or I love this old school one, very English, dilly-dallying. When was the last time you used that? Throw that in a sentence this week, people. But this idea of procrastination means that postponing or delaying, and it actually comes from the Latin procrastinatus. And that's got the prefix there of pro, meaning forward, and crastinus, meaning of tomorrow. So moving things forward to tomorrow or pushing things out until tomorrow. You know, that attitude, the motto of a procrastinator is, why do today what I can leave till tomorrow? And we all, I guess in theory, kind of when we think about it, if we were to be honest, we understand that there are consequences to that, which we want to take a look at. Abraham Lincoln said this: you cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today. At some point, it's going to come and it's going to get you. And if we keep putting things off, even small things, they are going to layer on top of each other until eventually they're going to actually build up and become bigger than what they need to be. I heard somebody once say to me that to keep moving in life, particularly when you're in a boat, you need oars, O-A-R. And to keep moving, we need to take ownership, we need to be accountable, and we need to take responsibility for our life and our actions. So that's the oar. But for us to be stagnant and not go anywhere in life, you might as well just stay in bed, B-E-D, which stands for blame, excuse, and denial. Some of the words that people use for not actually starting or doing anything. Charles Dickens, the author, actually wrote, "My advice is never do tomorrow what you can do today." Have a listen to this. Procrastination is the thief of time. And we just saw that in that video. That was a great, visual representation of what Charles Dickens is saying, is that procrastination is a thief of time. I hate to think how much time I've wasted because I just didn't get on and do what I should and known I should have been doing. Napoleon Bonaparte, for those of you who know what I'm referring to there, Napoleon Bonaparte said this: take time to be deliberate, but when the time for action arrives, stop thinking and go on. And I'm going to touch on this as one of the reasons, causes for procrastination, is that we overthink. And there are times we just need to take action. But this idea of procrastinating, delaying, postponing, dithering, dilly-dallying, it happens to all of us. We've all experienced that in some way, shape, or form. And that's what this Common Ground series is about. We're looking at I'll start Monday. I'll get to it. My father-in-law, Hungarian background, there's this Hungarian word called sutra, and that means tomorrow. When are you going to do it? Tomorrow. I'm going to do it sutra, which is tomorrow. It's always tomorrow, because why? Tomorrow never comes. But let me ask you this. What do you procrastinate over? What do you procrastinate over? For me, even just recently doing studies, finished a subject, but when it came to sit down to do the assignment, to do the forums and the quizzes and the exam, not so much the exam because I just had to get that done right, but like when it came to studying for, I would find anything else. It's amazing what I found attractive or appealing, like we saw in that video, everything else except for actually finally sitting down, getting into that textbook and doing what I really knew needed to be done. How about you? What is it that you procrastinate over? Are they small things? Or maybe you can validate, qualify, justify there's a big thing in your life that you're procrastinating over. And you're aware of it. You're conscious of it. But let me ask you, so what are you waiting for? What are you actually waiting for? What's it going to take for you to stop procrastinating and being stuck and knowing that there's a task, there's a job, there's a conversation, there's something that needs to be done? What is it going to take for you to stop procrastinating and to move on? And I guess the sad thing is that we don't often take action sometimes until it becomes an emergency or it becomes critical. Or we don't take the action until the actual outcome that we can see is more appealing and attractive than where we find ourselves right now. So the outcome, going through the process of taking action, it produces a result that is actually appealing and we just go, wow, that result is worth now actually going for. So procrastination, we've talked about it. We know what it is, but what are some of the causes? Maybe some of these causes are going to resonate with you. One of the causes for procrastination is that, you know what, I think to myself, I don't have time to actually get that done. I don't, so I'm going to put it off till later. I'm too busy. I'll do it later. And the thing is it's interesting, isn't it? It's quite fascinating that the things, most important things in our lives tend to go when we think we're really, really busy. And whether that's family time, whether it's actually kind of for people of faith where our prayer and Bible reading go out the window and we know how beneficial it is. We know how much we need it and what it brings to our world. But I say, look, I'll get to it later. I'll put it off later, until later. And, you know, we kind of like work out to ourselves that, you know, like just dealing with something, I'll just go, I'll get round to it. I don't have time now. I'll get round to it later. But somehow we get absorbed into other issues or other dramas or problems, and we keep putting those things to the sideline. So I don't have time. I mean, that's one of the biggest reasons people give for not looking after themselves physically. Like, we have this idea at Compass that we want to make sure that we are living life the way that God intended us to live. And Jesus says, I want to give you life and life to the full. And that's not just spiritual, although we believe that's the most important thing. We believe real success in life flows out of being spiritually healthy. And I'll touch on that for just a second. But if we were to talk about kind of like one of the reasons to procrastinate is we think we're too busy with other things to get round to it. When we talk about your physical health, which is important to us here at Compass, as is your emotional and psychological health and spiritual, but your physical health for just a minute would say that 30 minutes, four times a week, is what we need to do, is to be active for that 2 hours a week to take care of ourselves just that little bit better, to be that little bit healthier. And out of a week that is 168 hours long, that's 1.19% of your and my week that we can be active, and it's just going to make quite a difference in just how we feel and how we function. Not much, is it? And we think we're too busy to do that, yet we are more than willing to spend other time wasted on screens or social media or shows or binging or Netflix or Stan or whatever the case may be, but to find 1.19%, I don't have time. But I've just mentioned about your emotional and psychological health. In the environment, the climate we're in globally, but here in Melbourne, Australia, it is heightened, and there needs to be an awareness, and we need to do a better job at understanding and caring for our emotional and our psychological, our mental health. But there's one I believe that is more important than all of those that has a trickle-down effect and impacts each one of those, physical, the emotional, and psychological, and that is our spiritual health. Can I ask you about your spiritual health? How spiritually healthy are you? Yes, those other ones are incredibly important. But you see, if there's any area of those quadrants of our life, those four things that are not healthy, we will be functioning suboptimally. And I would believe as a Christian and having a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, my spiritual health, when that's healthy, all the other things are actually healthier. Let me ask you again, how's your spiritual health? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever explored it? And today in this session, over the coming weeks, I want to ask you the most important decision of your life that relates to your spiritual health, that has that cascade effect into the other areas of your life and has the potential to actually bring such enrichment and purpose and meaning and to live daily with a sense of hope and love and peace. Maybe you've tried the physical, the emotional, and the psychological, caring for those things which are important, and you're still thinking to yourself, there's got to be more. Let me tell you, there is. And it's found in your spiritual health. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. You see, it's interesting when it comes to time, neither a wise nor a brave man lies down on the tracks of history to wait for the train of the future to run him over. Dwight Eisenhower said that. You see, the reality is time waits for no man. We all have the same amount of time. We all get to choose how we use it, how we steward that. It's up to you and I how we use that and how we prioritize, which I'll come to in just a minute. But for me, eternity is a very long time. It's a very, very long time that we don't want to actually get wrong. And today I want to ask you that question that impacts your time here on earth, but also has the ability to actually influence and direct and determine where you spend eternity. So what are you waiting for? So being too busy for my spiritual health, not a good idea. What are some other causes of procrastination? The next one is fear. People don't take action. They don't do what they know they need to because there's fear of failure. If I do this, fear of failure, fear of success, a fear of change, a fear of the unknown, especially in the spiritual, this whole faith thing. It's weird, right? Faith is like love. It's weird. It's a mysterious, weird thing. And that's what faith is. If we knew what the outcome was, it wouldn't require faith. But we're called to have faith in a God we cannot see, who promises to take care of what we do see so we can live life to the full. That's a mystery. And there can be some fear and trepidation in that. But can I assure you that if you're willing to take action on this step, the most important decision you can make with your life, you'll never regret it. So there's fear. What about anxiety? You know, I reckon this is a really interesting one. What comes first? I don't know. Let me explain. You see, when we allow things to build up, and whether we're nervous or anxious about doing it in the first place, and that begins to build up, it becomes this vicious cycle that kind of feeds itself to the point that we kind of like adding more anxiety to the existing anxiety. So whether it was a build up in the first place that leads to anxiety, or anxiety builds up because of the build up of other things in our lives, I'm not saying that. But let me explain. How many times have you actually put something off, put so many things off, and then there's other things that you put off and they build up and they build up, and then when you finally get round to doing them and you just get them done really quickly and you kind of just say to yourself, oh my gosh, why didn't I do that sooner? Why didn't I reply to those emails? Why didn't I reply to those texts? Why didn't I get back to that person quicker? Why didn't I have that difficult conversation with that person? Because what can actually happen is that we kind of like create scenarios and we build things up more than what was a molehill into a mountain, and we end up with a bigger situation than what we actually started with and it ever needed to be. I like David Allen in his book, Getting Things Done book. He talks about the 2-minute rule. And he says, you know, you need to ask yourself, will this take me any more than 2 minutes? Responding to an email, call, touching base with somebody. If it's going to take you more than 2 minutes, schedule it in your diary and come back to it at a time where you can spend more time. But if it can be done quickly within 2 minutes, just get it done straight away. And it's incredible what that can actually lift off of your plate. Getting a whole bunch of small things done and out of the way can actually bring great freedom to your life and bring less anxiety and decrease anxiety in our world. Let me just go through the last ones before I just want to finish up this little section. Low self-esteem or feeling inadequate. I just don't have what it takes to get this done is one of the reasons. Guilt. If I actually deal with this situation, more so the bigger ones that are relationally orientated, we procrastinate about actually doing them because we feel guilty about a potential outcome. But yet, once again, sometimes we create scenarios and things that will never eventuate, and we carry guilt before we've even had a conversation or taken the issue to the person to have a conversation about it. What about overthinking? I referred to that before. If you're happy and you know it, what do? Overthink. If you're happy and you know it, overthink. If you're happy and you know it, overthink. That's what some people do. Some people just overthink it, and there is at some point overthinking, overanalysis leads to paralysis, and we get nothing done. I'm into planning, I'm into strategizing, but at some point we've got to pull the trigger and we've got to go. What about I don't know how? Really practical. I just don't have the skills and I just don't know where to go for help. I would always say that there is a solution for every problem. And it may not be the solution we want, but it is there. And there are those that can actually help us through no matter what we're going through. What about this one? We don't ever actually just get started. We're aware, we know what we need to do, but we just don't make that. How many of us actually know that once we get started, we're going to be okay, whether it's exercise or changing our diet or starting with something? Dawson Trotman said, the greatest amount of wasted time is the time not getting started. What about this one from Karen Lamb, the author? A year from now, you may wish you had started today. You may wish you had started today. So what are you waiting for? With those things, what is stopping you? What's stopping you from actually just getting started and stopping procrastinating on some of those things? The last two, and I'm sure there's many, you could probably think of others. The reality is it's going to take hard work. Some of us are allergic to hard work. And that's just laziness. See, nothing worth something cost nothing. To get where you need to go, to get to the fullness of life, to get to know what, to get to see happen what you know you can actually accomplish and do, it's going to take hard work. It's going to take some blisters. It's going to take some callus. It's going to take some grit and determination. It's going to take some sweat off the brow. The reality is getting things done is going to take hard work. The last one is we struggle to prioritize of just working out what's important. And we get distracted by some of the things that aren't actually important instead of actually getting on with what we know we're meant to be. So, hey, look, maybe some of those resonate with you. Maybe it's true. Some of those things are true about small things or big things in your life. But what are you waiting for? When I come back just for a few minutes, I just want to talk about that most important decision of your life that relates to your spiritual health that can affect every other area of your life. And I'm telling you, it is not something you want to ever procrastinate about. It's not something you want to delay or postpone. It is the most important decision you could ever make with your life. Check this out, and I'll be back in just a few minutes.
For many of us, our self-worth is tied into what we do. We define ourselves by our efforts and what we go through, and many use those exact same results to judge you. Does that mean the person you are is framed by your results? Then it becomes reasonable to get scared of having others judge those results in a negative way, right? Or even worse, you put in all of that effort and things still don't go your way. That's scary. I mean, maybe this isn't your reality, or maybe it's been happening subconsciously. Because the what if weighs heavier than this could. That's why some don't, even though they should. Procrastination is a defense mechanism for possible failure, to shield us from our fear of success. Because what if we do succeed? And what if it wasn't what we wanted or expected? You'd be surprised the things humans will do when their ego is in danger or when the fear of losing inspiration's favor hits. It's so much safer to just not do it. I mean, it's almost logical, right? The amount of excuses available are close to astronomical. It's so much easier to just not do anything. That minimizes our chances of failing, right? And keeps the level of comfort where you like it. Comfortable. Dreams are dreams, and you wouldn't want to achieve them because if you do, you lose them. You can't live your dreams, right? I mean, can you? Procrastination is the perfect seal, the perfect lock for the things that could be. Others won't know you failed because you never tried. So your chances of possible success are sky high because you never even tried. Actually doing something takes a certain amount of bravery because the idea of what if it's too hard or what if I achieve it and it's not actually what I wanted or needed is terrifying. And it's really easy to blame others if they help you procrastinate. The window of actually doing something is pretty small, and so easily it becomes too late to do anything worth doing. So even time helps you procrastinate. It's beautiful, isn't it? The perfect cycle of excuse and possibility. Procrastination is a self-defense mechanism that offers a moment of relief from stress and fear, but even success. Does any of this sound familiar to you? Do you feel yourself going round and round the wheel of reasons why you can't rather than just doing? We'd love to give you a moment right now to reflect on what's been holding you back. You can just think about it if you like, or maybe you'd like to say it out loud so that it loses some of that power over you. I mean, if you're brave enough, we'd love to see some answers in the chat. And maybe then you'll see that you're not so alone. For those people watching that are of faith, you might even take this moment to ask God to highlight some of those things for you. Let's just take a short moment now to just reflect. Now that you've identified what it is, what are you going to do about it? Maybe you've now realized that it's something that you can't do on your own. Maybe you need to ask God to help you or ask a friend or maybe even contact a professional. It's never a sign of weakness to ask for help, even though some people are definitely better at it than others. Maybe actually all you need to do is just begin and step into the world of possible rather than one of procrastination.
Hey, welcome back. And I just want to spend a couple of minutes talking about that most important decision in your life that you cannot procrastinate over, you cannot delay, you cannot prolong. We touched on things that happen in our lives that we procrastinate over, and what they have the ability to do is accumulate and cause greater stress in our life. This decision, what we're about to talk about, is not something that we can delay or prolong. There is too much at stake. I believe that this decision around our spiritual health is the most important decision we can make because once again, it flows down, it cascades, it impacts every other area of our life. And the best way for me to actually explain or to give you this decision on and offer this choice to you is simply just say, look, I want you to imagine for a second that just over this side of where I am is perfect good. God is here, and so there's nothing but love, joy, peace. There's no evil, there's no darkness, there's no pain, suffering, torment, anything. Like, it's just nothing but pure good over here. And over this side, because if there is pure good, would lead us to the assumption that there is pure evil. And so over here is there is no peace, there's no happiness, there's no joy, there's nothing but pain, suffering, guilt, shame, torment, anguish, depression. All of these things are just here to bring us down. And the devil would be over this side. Now imagine if between absolute good and pure evil, if there was a line between these two points. Now I want you to try, if you can, I want you to visualize the line, but if I was asked you to come and stand on this line, where would you position yourself between absolute good and pure evil? Some of us might actually stand somewhere in the middle and say, you know what, I'm a pretty good person. I've done some dumb, bad things, and so, like, I'm certainly not perfect. Others go, you know what, I haven't done too many bad things in my life. I've actually, you know, sort of stole a paddle pop from the milk bar, or I kind of, like, just took somebody's lip gloss without telling them, whatever the case may be. And so, you know, you're not perfect. And so the reality is none of us are perfect, right? That's called a Messiah complex. But some of you might actually go, Phil, you have no idea what I've been caught up in, what's happened to me, and what I've done, and what I think or how I think. And so you would maybe position yourself down here closer to where pure evil is. The reality is yesterday is gone. We can't do anything about that. Tomorrow is uncertain and we don't know what that's going to hold. What we have is today. We have this moment. As you're watching right now, I want you to stay with me, because no matter where you are on this continuum between pure evil and good, there is a gap between where you are and where God is. Do you know what? That's all of us. Every single one of us, the Bible tells us, has sinned and fallen short of God's perfect standard. All of us have. And so there is this gap. And the Bible says that there is a consequence to this gap from where we stand and where God is, that stuff, the wrongdoings that we've done, the things we've done wrong that separate us from being perfectly good, the Bible calls sin. And the penalty, the wages for sin, falling short of that standard, is death. And yes, physical death came in, but there's a spiritual death which separates us from God for all eternity. And so where we stand, and so the Bible says that God was the only one that could reconcile us back to himself and bridge the gap between we are. Because over there, if you think about it, where pure good is, that's the love, that's the joy, that's the peace, that's the purpose, that's the hope that we long for, that we were created for, that you may have tried all the other things in life, and somewhere deep inside of you, because God has placed that within you, the Bible says that he set eternity in our hearts. There is a longing that eternity can only be filled by an eternal God, and that is God through Jesus Christ. And so even though we try all these different things, there is nothing that we can do to bridge the gap between where we are. We can't buy our way across. We can't be smart enough. We can't build a bridge. We can't do enough good deeds to get us from where we are to where God is. And if you think for just a minute that your good deeds are enough, oh, I'm a good person, so that's going to get me to heaven. Where did that thinking come from? Where did that idea come from? Because it's not in the Bible. Let me tell you, that's not in the Bible. Because there is nothing that we can do. The only thing that could bridge the gap between where we are and where God is, it was a perfect sacrifice once and for all. And it is called in the person of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross, that Easter story, where he gave his life and he died. And so the only thing that can bridge the gap between where we are and where God is Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father back into right relationship with God except through me. That's a bold statement. That's when I had to get my head around when it came to actually me thinking about my spiritual health and my spirituality. Is it true? And for me, I got that revelation. And when I accepted God's gift of Jesus Christ and that gap was bridged between where I was, fallen short between me and a perfect God, the incredible peace and purpose and meaning and joy and strength, even in my darkest, hardest times, he never leaves me, he never forsakes me. That even when I was back here and I was like caught up in all my own stuff, Jesus died for me, leaving me the choice. He died knowing that I wouldn't accept what he did for me. That's a phenomenal act of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to bridge the gap between humanity and God. And it's the only way we can bridge that gap between where we are and where a perfect God is. See, Jesus says, the Bible says that there is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. And again, that's a big call. So today, the greatest decision, the greatest choice you could ever make with your life is, will you accept what Jesus Christ did for you upon the cross to bridge the gap from wherever you are to where a perfect God is? The Bible also says today is the day of your salvation, not tomorrow. That is uncertain. You can't change what's happened in the past. God wants to forgive you of all of that, wants to come into your life and forgive you and give you a fresh start, make you a new creation. And as you begin to understand your relationship with Him, you start to walk with Him and you start to walk in a new and a living way that affects your physical, emotional, psychological health and every other part of your life. It's a decision that you'll never regret. And so that decision that I want to present to you, the most important decision with your life, is what are you going to do with what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you? If you're willing to make that decision, you're willing to surrender, give your life over to Him, don't wait till tomorrow. That's uncertain. You have this moment right now on your screen. If you're watching this live stream, you'll see a button, raise hand, press that button. We would love to get in touch with you. If you're watching this at another time, please just contact us at info@compasschurch.com.au and we'd love to get in touch with you and let you know about the greatest decision you can ever make that can impact every other area of your life. Hey, thank you so much for watching. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be taking a look at this whole idea of procrastination, what does the Bible say about it, and some keys of how you can further stop being a procrastinator and start living life, and especially if you invite Jesus Christ into your world, living life to the full that He's promised for us. Thanks for joining us. This is Common Ground. We appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.